So I bring a fair amount of discouragement about the Mennonite Church USA and about the Mennonite Church in the widest sense. Slight overstatement maybe, but I think there's a civil war going on in our Mennonite Church. In the last couple of years, the Mennonite Church USA has gone from 120,000 members to 60,000 members and lost one-third of its congregations. And the rending, the dividing in the MCUSA is not done yet. This civil war, this time of dividing, is mostly around issues of human sexuality, but probably also around issues of red, blue, older, younger, urban, rural, more educated, less educated, and perhaps people of the global majority congregations and white, educated, liberal, middle class congregations. In other words, privileged whites and people of color congregations. That's a bit controversial to say maybe, but this is a time of such polarization, of increasing harshness and defensiveness, of so much anxiety. At this year's Mennonite convention, passing in the halls between events, I met my longtime friend, blank, a past high-up hoo-ha in the Mennonite church. You know how he greeted me? "What are you thinking, Paul?" And then before I could answer, "Whatever you think, Paul, you're wrong." That stopped me. I hear my friend needing to be listened to, needing to vent, as he has been on the front lines of this civil war for many years. Blank, trying to keep his arms wide open to embrace, love all of this. And he's had to absorb a lot of pain and anger and mistrust and anxiety. And he bears scars. My friend, entrusted with an institution's health and trying to keep its tent big and wide, maybe just trying to keep it from dying on his watch, in tumultuous time, suffering the pain of this civil war. "Whatever you think, Paul, you're wrong. Whatever you think, Lancaster Mennonite Conference, you're wrong. Whatever you think, CMCL, you're wrong." Here's the structure of this sermon, three movements or ideas, and I'll be, so kind of pay attention to both. This sermon comes out of my time last month as a delegate, spending many hours sitting on my duff and listening. The best part for me of all that sitting and listening was hearing Dr. Thomas Yoder Neufeld's deep dive into the New Testament letter to the Ephesians and our present contextual moment. This sermon comes straight out of that listening. From beginning to end, it's hugely indebted to Tom Neufeld's thinking, so much so that I think of it as mostly taking his 3 hours of teaching and figuring out how to preach it in 20 minutes. One more thing. Listen between the lines of this sermon. When the text says aliens, listen to it back then, but listen to it from hearing this week's news too. Those connections are intentional and are how God wants us to hear these texts, I think. One more warning. There's hymn singing in the middle of this sermon. Well, it's past the middle. The sermon's not done yet. We're going to sing and then I'll do some more singing. So just to warn you of that. Okay. When we stand up and sing, I'm sorry, the sermon's not done yet. God is gathering up all things in Christ. Or as the NIV translates this, God is bringing unity to all things under Christ. Both of these are excellent translations. Gathered into the one with God through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit, gathered into the unity of God, it defies explanation, and gathered into a unity with each other, all things gathered into Christ. This is a cosmic and mystical vision, all things in heaven and on earth, human and animal and all manner of thing, and more than that, I think. But for today, we'll concentrate on us humans. When we look around us, we certainly recognize a lot of diversity in the world. Why all this diversity? I think, first of all, that is how God wanted it. God created this world full of so much difference and variety, God loves diversity. But that's not all. And separation, diversity coming in because of fear, our limitations, sin, tragedy, failures, unhealed hurts, leading to divisions, to strife, to many difficulties. And the writer of Ephesians is saying, God has let out a secret. God is gathering up all things. God is bringing unity to all things under Christ. This is beyond imagination. In a world marked so much by keeping out, removing those who trouble us, loathing those with different views, destroying those different. How else to explain the wall? Billions wasted on military spending, anti-immigration efforts. I can hardly say this, 250 mass shootings so far this year in the US, drone warfare, segregated neighborhoods and gated communities, suspicion, callousness, inside us as well as in the world. This passage packs quite a countercultural punch. Now let's turn to the second text. It's Ephesians 2, but I won't read it out loud in the interest of time. It's on your bulletin insert, the pink one for you to consult and follow. Ephesians is a beautifully constructed piece of literature, and here's one example of that. This text section about the unity of Christ, or unity in Christ, is one of the great Christological passages of the New Testament. At the beginnings of the Christian church, there was a huge, painful division between Jews and Gentiles. This new movement called People of the Way, or Jesus followers, was all Jewish at first. But soon some non-ethnically Jewish, Judaism sympathizers, got attracted to the movement too. And the Apostle Paul became convinced by the Spirit that this good news, this gospel, was for all, not just good news for his own ethnic group, and began a radical missionary quest. Apostles James and Peter and the Jerusalem churches, and Paul and churches he founded, argued for years about this Jewish-Gentile mixture in the church and how to think about it, terms for membership, rules for conduct, etc. And Paul's profound, radical vision is laid out here. This is the Ephesians 2 text, the beginning of it. Here on the screen, so that we can make a first observation, notice how the writer, who is Jewish, starts by naming this painful divide in the starkest of terms, of ways. He speaks all the Jewish stereotypes about Gentiles: uncircumcised, yuck, unclean, dirty, disgusting, aliens, strangers, foreigners, hopeless, without God. It's painful to see this prejudice full in the face, but that's where they started. And this passage is about God, Spirit, calling them past that. But now in Christ, you who once were far off have been brought near. Now here then is a summary of this passage. See how the writer, right at the middle, see how the writer centers in Jesus his argument for uniting Jews and Gentiles in the church. This is a very early hymn these churches sang, an early confession of faith, a hymn to Christ our peace. And notice the parallelism in the passage, the first and last lines. Once aliens and strangers, now strangers no more, members together. And then the B1, B2, the blue. Christ brought the far near, Christ the evangelist of peace to the near and the far. Also, let's notice the destruction in these images, wall crashing down, law being abolished, a cross, that awful instrument of shaming and torture and execution. And by the cross, Christ killed divisions. By your greatest brutality and horror, a gift of reconciliation. God's Spirit's work is not always gentle or nice or easy. What are the most painful divisions we experience in our church today? Let's name a few. welcoming, affirming, or not. Racism and white privilege, division between people of color and whites, between humans and our planet, class divisions. Do we see signs of God gathering in any of those divisions, unifying anything? Can we imagine Christ breaking down dividing walls, putting to death hostility, making peace? Can we see Spirit moving? God is gathering us all from the ends of the earth, unifying all into unity within Christ. What does that unity look like? Well, the unity of Christ, the oneness of Christ, is the base for the hard work to begin. God pulls us together. God pulls us all together, and we work toward unity within Christ. Unity means that God's passion for gathering in is at the core, and it is a ceaseless struggle to live into it. God's wisdom and God's love are multifarious, manifold, contain multitudes. The church is not nearly that diverse. Unity means God's passion for gathering in is at the core, and it is a ceaseless struggle to live into this unity. The church is a mess, thanks to God. Thanks be to God. But let's do the first and last of that together, like I'll say, and then let's all say together the second part, okay? The church is a mess. Thanks be to God. And then the next slide, and in the spirit of Spirit surprises, we're going to sing in the hymnal worship book number 31, Wind Who Makes All Winds, here at about the two-thirds place of this sermon. Daryl leading with Daryl's pipe organ.
So I invite you to stand, number 31 in the blue book. Years ago, I wanted to hear the pipe organ in this congregation, and so I put this the accompaniment part into MIDI, and I brought it up on my computer the other day, and it sounds much better with the new sound. So we'll have this accompaniment. The first time through, you can just listen, and then we'll sing it through.